We will continue our study in the book of Proverbs tonight. We're in Proverbs chapter 25, so you could turn there. Quickly, we will review what we went through last week on being wise. And the issue is that wisdom is needed in all parts of our lives. In verses 1 through 9, we see that three things, that in order to be wise, you have to determine that you want to be wise. And therefore, you need to have a righteous outlook in verses 1 and 2. And then when we understand the benefits of a wisdom purpose life, it should cause us to live that way in verses 3 through 6. And the whole bottom line is you've got to give yourself to wisdom. You cannot think foolishly and then expect God's wisdom to work in your life. So the first thing we got to do is we've got to purpose wisely. The second thing we need to do is we need to prevail wisely in spite of all things that are going on around us. When our endurance is required, and we saw the verse that if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is what? Small. We cannot be like that. And then when intervention is required, folks, there are people that are out there dying without the gospel. We need to intervene. There is injustice being done. We need to intervene. We need to get involved on this, because if we, for him that knoweth to do good, doeth not to what? To him it is sin. In verses 13 through 22, we need to proceed wisely. We need to find the goodness of wisdom. And everything that we have in our life, we need to understand that there's an opportunity to apply God's wisdom to it. We need to forsake the ways or the goals of the wicked. They should not be on our radar. They should not be the way we have an outlook. We should have a righteous outlook. And then we need to forgive failure and move on in yourself. The righteous man falls down 7 times and he gets himself up again. Don't dwell in the past of failure. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to defeat you. He wants to devour you. So we need to forgive failure. We ask God to forgive. We need to forgive ourselves and move on and repent of it. And then also we need to forgive failure and move on in others. And then verses 19 through 22, we need to focus correctly. Not on the evil man and his deeds, but basically on God and his anointed, and not on the thick or the ones that are flighty, that one day they're like this and one day they say this. And we've seen that over the last 9 months. We need to do this. No, you need to do this. And if you do, where's all the upcry right now when we're having more COVID numbers than we were back in March? See, there's some things going on here that people are not acting wisely. And we just need to be confident in God and follow Him. Then we need to perform wisely. We need to perform wisely in judgment, basically being impartial and also being impeccable, i.e. doing the right thing and being just. And then we need to be perform wisely in all of our endeavors, and then in how we react to things. And we'll see more of that tonight. And then lastly, we need to perceive wisely, verses 30 through 34. We need to look for lessons. If you're just walking around with blinders on or your eyes closed, you're going to bump into things and you're going to fall. There are lessons all around us. The times that we're living in right now, there are so much spiritual lessons in this that we could use as an opportunity to share. We need to look for that. And then we need to seize it and learn from those lessons. So now as we move on into Proverbs chapter 25, I want us to talk about dealing with life. And these are things on how do we do certain things. And what we need to do is we need to look at God's Word. God's Word is rich with instruction. It's everything that we need for life and what? For life and godliness. So, the first thing is it is advice to a future king. But you know something? The Bible says as we as parents are supposed to rule our houses. We need to, our government needs to rule righteously. And we need to do our ministry righteously too. So verses 1 through 7 talks about how to rule righteously. And it all starts with finding the Word of God. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 1, it says, "These are also the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out." See, there was a commandment given to each king. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18, it said that when you had a king, that he was supposed to go and copy out the Word of God and make a personal copy and live by it. When we, in our squadron, we have a little booklet. It's called Squadron Standards. And this is the way that we brief. This is the way that we fight. This is the way that we fly. This is the way we do all these things. And you have to carry those on your person all day long. It's about an 80-page book. And we make it so it can fit into a flight suit pocket. And then when we're always asked about doing something, you pull out the standards and you read them. Folks, that's what we need with God's Word. You don't have to be a king to rule. In your family, you need to have God's Word right there. And when something comes up, you need to pull it up and read it. We need to copy it out. We need to memorize it and apply it in our lives. So in order to rule or order to perform righteously, the very first thing you have to do is find the Word of God. Secondly, we need to study the Word of God. If you go through the book of Acts, in chapter 17, verse 11, it talks about the people of Berea and how they were more noble than the people in Thessalonica, because what they did is they searched the scriptures to see if those things were so. Well, in Proverbs chapter 25, verses 2 and 3, it says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing." You know, God is God. He will reveal what He wants us to know. And some of it He will not reveal. We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when we're with Him, when we see Him, we will know Him as He is. He told Daniel, He says, there are some things that Daniel saw that he was not allowed to write. There were things that John saw that he was not allowed to write. It was for him and him alone, for them and them alone. And folks, it's just have faith. Know this Word. This is our standard. Everything we have in here is good enough. But see, it's the honor of kings to search out a matter. So when you make a business decision or you make a family decision, is it based on God's Word? And when you hear something, you say, "I don't know about that." Do you go and study it or just accept what's going on? I was corrected after Sunday morning when I said Leviticus 28:20. It's Leviticus 26:20. So there are no 28 verse chapters in Leviticus. Yes, that was a typo. But you know, the point is, you need to search those things out. When something happens, say something about it. It's an honor for the king to search out God's Word. It's an honor for us. We have the privilege to have the Holy Spirit that tells us what we need to learn. And He'll teach us what? All things. Guide us into all righteousness. The heaven for height and the earth for depth. And the heart of kings is unsearchable. Folks, one day we are going to rule and reign with Christ. We are going to be kings and queens and princes and all those things. I want San Antonio. I want San Antonio. But the thing is, we need to get prepared for that right now. And we need to rule our houses righteously through the Word of God. We need to rule our families by studying the Word of God. Next, we need to follow the Word of God because it refines you. See, when you refine metal, what do? You take out all the impurities. And in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 4, it says, "Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer." There should come out a vessel that is worthy to be purchased, that has value. We are supposed to be vessels of what? Honor. And the trials that we go through are things that purify us, that God says, you need to get rid of that in your life so I can use you better. Don't you want to be used more of God? Amen. Don't you want to be used to be the absolute perfect fit for this? I've been watching these commercials, and it seems like now that I've turned over 65, everything's a Medicare commercial. Everything's about having a perfect fit. Fit for us. No, we need to be a perfect fit for God. And we need to be refined. And we know the illustration back in old times, they still do it today. You knew that metal was pure, especially gold or silver, when the refiner took off the last piece of dross, he could see a reflection of himself in the surface of the molten metal. That's what God wants to do. He wants to look into our lives and see a reflection of ourselves. See, if we follow the word of God, it will refine us. He says it's like fuller soap. It's like a hammer. It does all sorts of things. The second thing is that the word of God, following the word of God, should separate you from unrighteousness. In verse 5, it says, take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Take away the wicked thing out of your life, and your life will be established in righteousness. Take away the wicked things out of your family, and your family will be established in righteousness. Take away the wicked things out of your church, and your church will be in righteousness. Take away things out of whatever government, and it'll be established in righteousness. See, and to rule righteously or to live righteously, you need to find the Word of God. You need to study the Word of God. And then you need to follow the Word of God. Christ told a parable. In Luke chapter 14, verses 7 to 11, he says, and he put forth a parable to those which were bidden when he marked how they chose the chief rooms, saying unto them. See, they were going in. He was eating with the Pharisees. And everybody wanted to be in the top tier. Everybody wanted to be in the room where the ruler of the feast or the ruler or the owner of the house was or the king was at. They wanted to be there. And it says, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit down, sit not in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man's place, and thou begin with shame to take his lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. What's this talking about? Be humble. It's not about you. It's about God. Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. See, how to rule righteously, you need to find the Word of God. You need to study the Word of God. You need to follow the Word of God. And then you need to beware of those who just want to be seen. You know, every time you talk, they come in and they butt into the conversation, or they want to be seen of everything else. In Proverbs chapter 6, or 25, verses 6 and 7, it says, put not forth thyself in the presence of the king. I.e., it could be literally, don't put yourself in the way of the king. Let him call you up. That's what this parable was talking about. Let him exalt you. You don't exalt yourself. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that it be said of thee, come up hither. And boy, if you wanted to see if Christ was using scripture or not, there it is right there. Then thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thy eyes have seen. See, the issue is, it's not about us. It's not about what we think. It's about God. and it's about what he says. And it's about humility. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may what? Exalt you in due time. So see, to rule righteously, beware of people who just put themselves in that place. You know people like that, don't you? They just, I have them at work. Boy, there's a decision, they're right there. Because they want to be part of the action. No, you're part of the action when you need to be part of the action. Okay? Other times you need to be available. So, how to rule righteously? Find the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Follow the Word of God because it refines you, it separates you from unrighteousness. And then beware of those who just want to be seen. Paul writes, he says, don't be men pleasers. Don't do things with eye service, but be actual people who servants of God. So that's how to rule righteously. The biggest part of this chapter talks about how to deal with your neighbor. There's 8 points in this section here from verses 8 through 22. And the first one is, do not pick a fight. Do not pick a fight. In verse 8 it says, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know what to do in the end thereof. There's a story, you can find it in 2 Kings chapter 23 and 2 Chronicles chapter 35 about Josiah. The king Josiah, he was a good king. He set things straight. But one day he heard that the Pharaoh Necho, Pharaoh of Egypt, was going to go out and make war against the king of Assyria. It wasn't even against Israel. Pharaoh had no interest in this. And so Josiah says, I don't go out and fight him. It was not his fight. Pharaoh says, I did not come to fight with you. But you know what? Josiah just kept on putting himself in the way, picking a fight. And you know what happened? Pharaoh said, you want to fight? You got to fight. And Josiah died. See, don't go out picking fights on your own. You're in the fight that God put you in. We talked about this Sunday, about, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirit. It's a spiritual warfare thing. And let God pick your fights. And then just be obedient to his. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. You know, sometimes we'll go out and we'll start thinking that we're right. We'll go down that road and then all of a sudden find out that we're what? Wrong. And that's exactly what this is talking about here. So how do you deal with your neighbor? Don't go out picking a fight. Don't go out looking for trouble. There's plenty of trouble. Sufficient to the day is what? The evil thereof. Secondly, do not make your personal disagreements public. And for all those who have Facebook accounts and Twitter or text or email, if you got an issue with somebody else, deal with it privately.
Right.
Don't come on and say, well, that person said this, and now you have this group of people against another group of people. In verses 9 through 10, it says, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself. Matthew 18 talks about church discipline. It says, if someone has a fault, you go to that person and you try to get it restored. If you can't get it restored one-on-one, then you go get some witnesses and you try to get it restored. If you can't get it restored, then you bring it to the church. People want, well, bring it to the church right now. No! Take care of things secretly. No, God didn't call out Nicodemus when he came to him privately. He didn't call him out. He dealt with him one
on one. He says, debate thy cause with a neighbor himself, and don't let the dude down the street, or don't let the dude on their Facebook wall find out about it, and discover not a secret to another. That's how you deal with your neighbor. Don't pick a fight and keep things private. Verse 10, it says, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thy infamy turn not away. A lot of people want to be famous. They don't want to be infamous. Okay? And I tell you what, Facebook can make you infamous. Be careful. Be careful how you deal with your disagreements. Deal with them one-on-one. It says, if anybody be overtaken in fault, ye who are what? Spiritual. Restore such a one in the spirit of what? Meekness. And don't be lifted up thinking that you'll be tempted to. So, don't pick a fight. Do not make personal disagreements public. Be an encouragement. Be an encouragement. In verses 11 through 13, it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. You know, there's never a bad time to say something good to someone. And my mom used to say, if you have nothing good to say, don't say anything. We have too many people going around the world today just looking for opportunity to put somebody down. They want to pick a fight. They want to make private disagreements public. They want to do all this other stuff. It says a soft answer turneth away what? Wrath. Folks, there's always something good to say to someone. There's always something good to say. And this is what the picture is. It's like, you know, those great paintings. You see those great paintings and a fruit, okay? Hey, we're supposed to have fruit of the Spirit, right? Okay? Is your fruit of the Spirit on display? Think about that. It's your fruit of the Spirit on display to the world, to the person that you're trying to talk to, and then to everybody else. It says, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon a what? Obedient ear. As the cold of snow in time of harvest. You go back and you study, there's Mount Hermon in the Middle East, and it's snow covered even in the summertime. In the summertime, it gets hot. What people would do is they would walk up and they'd get that snow and they'd bring that snow down to the people that were hot. It says here, it says, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the souls of his masters. Folks, if you're thinking about getting ahead or making yourself look good, then you need a humble spirit. What we should do is we need to be an encouragement. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See, we need to lift one another up. So don't pick a fight. Don't make personal disagreements public. Be an encouragement. Make it a challenge you for the rest of this week. You'll say something good to someone every day. Amen. And on Sunday morning, say something good to them. On Sunday morning, it'll give a whole different spirit around. You know, tell something? In this time, people want to hear something good. Because there's an awful lot of junk going around right now. So don't pick a fight. Don't make personal disagreements public. And be an encouragement. And be truthful. Christians should be the example of truthfulness. We should not go down the world's path of manipulating words or meandering our words or telling half-truths. Let our yea be yea, and our nay, nay. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. In Jude, verse 12 of Jude, it talks about these are spots on your feast. They're clouds that have no water. There's all this stuff. Folks, if you don't make yourself more than what you are. Don't say you have some gift and you don't have it. There's all sorts of imposters out there. But a Christian is supposed to be one who's real. And so we need to be truthful. And then something that's really easy for all of us to do is be patient. Okay? To be patient. Man, we just love for opportunities to be patient, right? No, we want to get it over now. We want it our way. Because everybody else is wrong. I'm right. Okay? Verse 15. Look at this. By long forbearing. What does that mean? You're patient with it. You just keep on making the entreaty. Remember the widow that just kept on going to the judge and said, avenge me of the adversary. And she basically just kept on wearying the judge. And the judge said, enough! I'll take care of it. The issue is, we shouldn't be like that. But the issue is we need to have patience. We need to pray for a country. It says, by long forbearing is a prince what? Persuaded. See, well, I told you once, that's enough. Some people have to be told twice. Kids have to be told 3, 4, 5 every day. We as children of God have to be told every day about what we need to do sometimes. And a soft tongue breaketh the bone. See, someone is truly, truly sold out to God can do incredible things. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Long-suffering. That's the trying of our faith. Let it work what? Patience. Let it work patience. And so you just keep on praying for the same thing. And you don't put it on your timetable. And you don't put it in your perspective. You put it in God's perspective, on God's timetable. And you say, thy will be done. Thy will be done. So you need to be truthful. We need to be patient. And then, don't wear out your welcome with your neighbor. Don't wear out your welcome with your neighbor. Now, here's an illustration, verse 16. It says, hast thou found honey? Eat so much as sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit. Okay? Too much of a good thing is bad, right? Angie made cookies and now I'm eating too many of them. That's bad. Okay? The issue is too much of a good thing is bad. That's the precursor for the next statement. It's an application. Verse 17. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. You want to make your neighbor sick? Have too much of you. There you go. Have too much of you. And we all have some of them around our place, right? Don't wear out your welcome. Because what happens? You know, people, it just, they see you and they turn the other way. They see you in the store and go the other way. Oh, I don't want that. Let's be real. Let's be real. So don't wear out your welcome. And then lastly, how to deal with your, or next, how to deal with your faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. In verses 18 through 19, there's results if you're not faithful. Okay? Now, how many have ever had a broken tooth or a toothache? We all enjoy it, right? Feels really good. Yeah. Right, Roy?
Absolutely.
Okay? Or sprained your foot. Feels really good, right? Yeah. Bring more of that on. I just want to suffer, right? Look. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor. There's three things here. A maul. That's a spike thing. Okay? And a sword. And a sharp arrow. Wow. Would you like to be seen as being a maul? Or a sharp arrow? Or a sword? Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. They don't do you any good. And that's not how to be neighborly. One thing a Christian should be is trustworthy and dependable. And then the problem is some people take an abuse of that. Okay? You have to balance it. But here's the result if you are faithful. If you are faithful, in verse 20, it says, as he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre. Okay, we all did the science experiment. Okay, you made a little volcano. You put some soda in a cup, and then you poured vinegar on it. What did it do? It just spewed out. Okay, if you were Ricky, and it was 35 degrees in Texas, and it was snowing, and he had his coat on because he's cold, because he's waiting for spring. And you ripped the coat off of him. What would you get? You'd probably get slugged, right?
Scream.
You would get a great reaction, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes.
You would get a significant reaction. If you put vinegar and soda together, you get a what? You get a significant reaction. See, these are metaphors. These are pictures on how the rest of the verse is. So you get a significant reaction when so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. Think of that. Think of that. So there's you got Solomon's got his mind here. He says, okay, here's some things that you would cause a severe reaction or a significant reaction. But you know something? Encouraging someone who's down and needing comfort has the same significant effect.
Yeah.
And that's how we need to deal with our neighbors. We need to be faithful. Someone that we can have confidence in us. That's how your way of life, your conversation can win someone to Christ. Because they say, you're different. You're not like everybody else that lets me down. We should never let anybody down. We should never talk falsely about somebody either, just to get ahead. And we can see the significant result that we can have if we are faithful. In Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, in verses 43 through 48, it says, ye have heard that it have been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. See, that's man's way of thinking. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that it may be that the children of your Father which is in heaven that ye may be, and may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. How to deal with your neighbor? The first thing is, everyone can be your neighbor. And we need to be fair. In verses 21 and 22, it says, if thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt keep coals of fire upon his head. That's not vengeance, folks. That's giving him sustenance. See, they didn't have Bic lighters back then. Okay? They didn't have fire starters back then. What they did, they went from place to place. They carried embers of the previous fire. And you're helping someone that could make a fire easily to be comforted and warmed that night. It says, for thou shalt heap coals of fire upon thy head, and the Lord shall what? Reward you. Why are you doing things anyway, folks? It should be for the reward of the Lord. It should be motivated to show, to glorify God. And the best way to do it is when it's hard. For people that you don't like. People who don't agree with what you say. People are on the opposite end of the political spectrum. See, we need to be fair. That's how. Look at Christ on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In spite of mocking and saying, he saved others. Let's see if Elias comes down. Ha, 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 ha. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Folks, being a Christian is radical. It takes extreme courage and faith to do this. So, how to deal with your neighbor? These eight things. Be faithful, be fair. Then lastly, in verses 23 through 28, is how to deal with yourself. It is time to not be silent. The first point, verse 23, is confront evil talking. It says, the north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a bat-biting tongue. Folks, you need to stand up for what you believe. Right. We're not talking about angry. The Bible says, be angry and what? Sin not. Christ himself was angry when he went in the temple and he found the people that were supposed to be doing the right thing doing the wrong thing. And folks, we need to do that. We need to confront evil talking. We need to confront... Avoid conflict when able. Now Solomon, I don't think he was the wisest man on earth if he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. I mean, really? I mean that. So he probably has a lot of experience with this next verse. It's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman and in a white house. Now, my Bible tells me this. It says that as much as is in you, be what? Live peacefully with all men. Okay? And that includes women. That includes your family. And you know the boy is? And boy, when you're sharing a house, there's no escape. There's no escape. You can run in the closet, but that You'll run out, and besides, it has no exit. Think of that. Closets only have one way in, basically, and one way out. So, avoid conflict when able. And, you know, there's sometimes it's just better just to turn and walk away than to try to prove your point. Like today. So, here's an example in our family. So, working on a printer, and Angie prints out this thing. And she says, the printer is out of ink. Look at what it did. Now, we have a black and white printer. She tried to print something color. And if you try to print something color, what happens? You just maybe get a part of it. And if your font is not the right color, it won't come up. She says, you're out of ink. You need to go buy more ink. We are not out of ink. Okay? I'm working on this lesson. Okay? We're out of ink. And I said, see? And I printed out something black and white. I said, see? We're not out of ink. And I said, besides, it's toner. It's not ink. That wasn't very good. That wasn't very good. But the issue is, the issue is this.
Digging the hole.
Huh?
You said you're digging that hole.
I know I'm digging. But I have the car keys. Also applies to cars. Okay? But the issue is this. Folks, there's so many opportunities. There's so many opportunities in our family that we could just pick a fight. Or we could say the wrong thing. And we have to be careful how we answer. Okay? We have to be careful how we say something and say, this is wrong. That was the issue. And I said, we're out of ink. No, we're not. I know we're not. Okay? And that will be a challenge to us. So we just have to watch out what we do. Okay? And then gently show the truth and prove them wrong. Okay? The other thing is, you know something? You know what I did? I showed her how to make it work. See, today there's too many people that all we want to do is ask wrong and you don't show them the right way. And folks, that's what we need. We need to show people the right way, because if that's the case, you will eliminate brawling in your house instead of trying to be one-upmans with somebody else. So, confront evil talking, avoid conflict with Abel, okay? Be the bearer of good news. Verse 25, as cold water to a thirsty soul. You know, there's nothing better than a cold glass of water when you're really hot, hot, hot in Texas. As cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. See, we have good news from far countries called heaven. And Christ came down. Remember a parable? He said he had a vineyard, he left it to husbandmen, and he went to a far country and he came back. That's a picture of Christ. Folks, we have great news. How beautiful are the feet that share what? The tidings of what? Good news. We have good news, and we need to be a breath of fresh air in a world that is dark. And if someone says it's going to be a dark winter, no, it's not. My God's going to make it bright. My God's going to make it bright. Be the bearer of good news. Be strong. Be strong. Verse 26, a righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and as in a corrupt spring. Folks, it's time to stand up and start speaking up and don't be silent. I have God on my side. Amen. We have God on our side. We should not fall down before wicked men just because they say something. We do what Peter and John said. It is, we're going to serve God rather than men. And folks, the day is approaching that we're going to have to make that stand.
Right.
The day is approaching. It's already here in certain respects. So, be the bearer of good news. Be strong. Avoid conflict with Abel. Say good things. Confront evil talking. And then lastly, be self-controlled. In verses 27 and 28, it says, it is not good to eat much honey. Here's that honey illustration again. Okay? For so for men to search their own glory is not glory. Let God lift you up. Let Him call you up. Let Him exalt you. Let Him do all those things in your life. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You know what that means? Defenseless. Defenseless. Folks, the only way that we have defense in this world today is through God. We have to take on the whole armor of God. We have to fight the good fight. We have to endure hardness as a soldier. We have to do all those things. We have to do those things. And we need to deal with ourselves in this way. We need to follow God in all of our dealings. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's stand. We'll have a word of a verse of invitation, song of invitation. And if God's spoken to your heart tonight, let Him deal with your heart. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, just ask Me with this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts. Lord, if someone does not know You as Savior, Lord, tonight I just ask that You just help them to surrender to You and receive Your gift of salvation. Father, help us, Lord, to surrender to You as Christians, as believers. And Father, it's not about ourselves, Lord, it's about You. And Lord, help us, Lord, to be able to rule righteously. Help us, Lord, to deal with our neighbors, all of our neighbors, Lord, the right way. And Lord, most of all, help us to be right in ourselves. Lord, we give You this time of invitation. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.